out of this passage, but I want you to open your Bibles to Genesis 12 for just a minute. I want to show you something that it's really important. And again, I'm not preaching on this, but Peter asked requests. I actually was going to pray for that tonight, Peter, praying for Israel and what our country refused to veto what the UN did, which is absolutely a joke. But it's not a soapbox. It's absolutely wrong. But we need to pray for our country. We need to pray for all those that are in authority. Yes, we do. And I am thankful for the tweet that Donald Trump, President-elect Donald Trump, sent out. Said January 20th is coming soon, and a lot of changes will be made in the context of our relationship with Israel. And you say, well, what's the big deal, preacher? What's the big deal that with Israel? I mean, they're just a small country. But here's what you got to understand. They're not just any country, and they're not just any people. They're God's people. They're God's chosen nation. And that is a big deal. And it goes back all the way to Genesis chapter 12. And I want to read a couple of verses. And again, this isn't a sermon, but I hope it'll be instructive tonight. And I hope it will even be really instructive in the life of our teenagers and our college kids to understand the importance of always being an ally to Israel. In verse 1 of Genesis 12, it says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." This is the beginning where God is calling Abram out of the Ur of Chaldees, and God's going to make a great nation of him, and yet he doesn't even have kids yet. He says in verse 2, that statement, he says, "I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." But here's the key verse. Why should we stay an ally to Israel, and why should we continually be praying for the nation of Israel? God makes a statement, and I want to add something. He not only makes a statement in Genesis chapter 12 some 4,000 years ago or so, he's actually, this statement still applies. This verse still applies. In verse 3, he says, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." The Abrahamic covenant, the Lord Jesus promises to bless those that bless Israel, and he promises to curse those that curse Israel. We better stay an ally to Israel. So when you pray tonight, you pray that God will watch over our country. And I mean that. I sincerely mean that. And Netanyahu's not happy right now, but we pray. We pray for Israel. You say, preacher, that's just being old-fashioned. No, it's not being old-fashioned. It's being biblical. Amen? It's being biblical. It's a biblical foundational premise that God will bless those that bless Israel, and he will curse those that curse the nation of Israel. And we better pray that we stay an ally to Israel. So anyway, that's another sermon. Open your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Don't confuse that with Corinthians, or you'll be in the New Testament. Or in the Old Testament, 1 Chronicles chapter 4. I should actually have Michael come and read the first four chapters of 1 Chronicles and pronounce all these names, but we're not going to do that. When you read 1 Chronicles, when you first start out, you may think, oh my goodness, I don't know that I'll ever get through all the names. And I remember years ago hearing a preacher say that he said, anytime you're reading these old genealogies in the Old Testament, now of course, there is tremendous truth in them, because what God is doing is what the Lord often does. And when you read all these lists of names, as a matter of fact, some 500 names, I believe it is, up until this point in chapter 4. When you read these names, you got to understand that often what God is doing is he is showing us the purity of the line, the lineage of Christ, and how he's going to come through David's lineage and all of that, and how it's a remarkable thing when you kind of process it that way. Now, I will say, it is hard sometimes when you read all those names. And one preacher years ago said, anytime you come to names you can't pronounce, just say the word Bubba and just keep going. Because you can get tied up and you can butcher them. But when you come to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, in the first 8 verses, you have name after name after name after name. It's a genealogy of Judah. But then as you get to verse 9, there's kind of a little bit of a transition, especially now in verse 10. So please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. We're going to preach on this message tonight, Living Beyond Limits. Living Beyond Limits. And we're going to continue our study, really, on prayer. And how prayer, as we looked at last Sunday, last week with the teenagers, especially last Wednesday night, We talked about the importance of prayer and how prayer needs to be a priority in our life. And prayer is something that we now can do because Jesus Christ has made it possible. So much happened on the cross of Calvary. And one of the tremendous things that happened on the cross of Calvary, the Bible said that the veil of the temple, which separated ordinary man from God, only the high priest could go past that, you know, that veil that separated him. But when Jesus died on the cross, that veil was torn in two. And what that is symbolic of is absolutely understanding that we now have access to God. We can come to Jesus, we can come to God on our own because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary through his death, burial, and resurrection. We do not have to go through some earthly priest. Praise God for that, amen? We do not have to go through, and here's another good one. We do not even have to go through Mary, friend. We can go directly to the throne of God, and the Bible declares that in Hebrews. We can come boldly unto the throne of grace. And the writer of Hebrews said we can do that so we can obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, Hebrews tells us. But when you come to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, we're going to look at a man who is a phenomenal illustration of what it means to be a prayer warrior. He's a phenomenal illustration of what it means to not only ask God for something, but really, really want and desire for God's will to be done in his life. He's actually a man that illustrates for us, the illustration I heard years ago, when it comes to the will of God for your life, it's like taking a blank piece of paper and writing your name, signing your name at the bottom of it, and then handing it to God and say, okay, God, you fill in this blank piece of paper. You fill in this blank piece of paper for what your will is for my life. And that's basically what we find Jabez doing. Verse 9, the Bible tells us, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. 1 Chronicles 4, 9. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, here's the interesting thing. She calls his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel. What a tremendous man he is. He's a man that understands the word of God. He called on the God of Israel. Why would he do that? Because there's only one God, ladies and gentlemen. There's only one God, Jehovah God, and he knew that. All the false gods that were around during his time living in this world, they couldn't do what God Jehovah could do. And by the way, tonight, here we are, 7:39 on a Wednesday night, last Wednesday night before that we'll have before 2017 starts. You say, yeah, preacher, we're not promised that's going to happen. You're right. But if it does continue on, we go into 2017, here we are. We have an opportunity to worship our Lord, but we all also have an opportunity to go into 2017 with kind of an attitude that Jabez had. He says in verse 10, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, notice his request, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. What a tremendous prayer. Do we not want God's blessings on our life? Look at the rest of it. And enlarge my coast. Wow. He wanted more. He wanted God to stretch him. And that thine hand, verse 10, might be with me. And that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And notice this. And God granted him that which he requested. Wow. What a prayer. Father, we love you. We ask your blessing on the reading of your word. We pray, God, that your Holy Spirit will help us and guide us. Lord, please forgive us of sin where we failed you, and God, that would hinder this service. We ask that you will have free reign in our midst, for it's in Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Thank you. May be seated. We are tonight going to talk about living beyond limits, because really, when you look at this prayer, and it's often known, it's simply known as the prayer of Jabez. I remember years ago, a man wrote a book. I think it was Wilkerson who wrote the book, and he wrote the book on the prayer of Jabez. It's a good book. It's a good read. And just kind of, you know, dissects and brings out some thoughts on this. But when you read this portion of Scripture, we're just going to kind of briefly tonight, going to kind of look at some thoughts on it. And I think we may birth a series out of it on Sunday nights and really gear it toward the teenagers going into 2017. We'll see. I'm still considering that. But notice some thoughts under this two verses of Scripture. Notice Jabez, the man. Let's talk about the man Jabez. Interestingly enough, when you first start reading this, it kind of, we have name after name after name, starting in verse 1. We're not going to read it, but starting in verse 1 all the way down, you have name after name after name after name after name. And then when you come to verse 9 says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. His mother called his name Jabez because, it says, she bare him with sorrow. His name suggests some things about him. His name simply means, the name Jabez means to grieve. It means sorrowful. It means pain. How would you like to have the name Pain? What a good name. Now, I know some of you like to inflict pain growing up, maybe, but how would you like to have a name like that? Jabez, now there's some debate as to why he was given this. There's some debate as to, you know, what was some of the some circumstances maybe to why she named him that. We don't know what sorrow necessarily it was that caused her to give him this name. Many have suggested, since his mother named him, it perhaps suggests that his dad was dead. Because ordinary, traditionally, it was the dad that often would name the child, and we see in this portion, she's naming the child. And again, it's mere speculation. We don't know the answer to that. But just trying to to give some some insight maybe to what was transpiring in his name. It was possible that she named him Jabez because maybe she had a hard time delivering him. Some suggest that his brothers had stolen his inheritance, and his mother grieved over the impoverished life that he would live. We don't know that. And again, it's mere speculation. One writer said that most suggest that Jabez was born with some handicap, some disability, if you will. One writer, Clovis Chappell, said his name was a handicap if there was nothing else. His simple name. Can you imagine? Now the Hebrews would have, you know, they knew a lot when it came to names, and they knew a lot when it come to what names meant. And can you imagine, you know, being introduced at a setting, maybe at a dinner, and say, "Oh, this is Jabez," and then all of a sudden people think, "Wow, Pain, man, wow, what a name, right? What a name." He is an individual. When we look at this man, he's an individual as far as thinking about his name, who grew up. There was problems. He had pain. But what's remarkable when I look at his name, and what's remarkable when I continue looking at this story, he's an individual that is going, by God's grace, he's an individual that's going to rise above how he was born into this world. You know, aren't you grateful? Aren't we thankful? Aren't we thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ can take our pain, he can take our problems, he can take how we came into this world, and he can put his grace and infuse his mercy into that and make it a masterpiece of his grace and mercy? We don't have to be labeled. Can I get a witness in this room? The world wants to label you. The world wants to tell you, well, if your dad's an alcoholic or your mom's an alcoholic, chances are you're going to be an alcoholic for the rest of your life. But the only problem with that, I say this often, the only problem with that, when you have that ideology and you have that concept, that mindset, that of putting a label on someone, I think you diminish the power of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God and the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ can do a remarkable thing in anybody's life. When I think of trophies of the grace of God, I do think of one of my best friends, Brother Andy Daugherty, a man who was addicted to drugs and just drinking and drugs and all that. And God miraculously saved him, changed his life, and to see how God takes care of him, to see God call him to preach, and to see him, you know, pastoring a church, and to see how God provides for him. What a remarkable God we have when we look even at our friends. So whatever the reason, it would appear that Jabez was not among, you know, the who's who, if you will. Interestingly enough, I saw on my desk today, and I get these periodically, I got a thing from the who's who as far as from a business perspective, and they want to feature our church, myself, in that, and probably want money, so we got to be careful about that kind of stuff. I always kind of be careful. They say it's free, but I've learned over the years there's really not much free, right? So anyway, but Jabez, he wouldn't have been someone that was featured in the who's who. He wouldn't have been someone that was, you know, had a name where people was like, oh, that person is of man, what a prestigious lineage they have. That person is a, you know, and we live in our culture, and I'm not endorsing them, but when you hear the Kennedy family and how they were all that, and I'm not endorsing them by no means, but you know what comes behind that, and you know the political realm, or the Clinton or the Bush family, and the political, you know, kind of the temperament behind all that, and by no means are we endorsing any of that. It's just a simple thought to bring some light as far as when you think of a name. You also, when you think of the name Jabez, he was an individual. Yes, he had pain. He was an individual that, you know, lived through a lot and had a lot of issues, but yet he's an individual, as we'll see, that overcame that with the help of the Lord Jesus. So we see Jabez the man. Notice Jabez the miracle. And we're going to dig through this a moment. Notice Jabez the miracle. In verse 9, it says, in the earlier part of it, it says that he was more honorable than his brethren. Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. As one writer wrote, it says his name may have been pain or sorrow, but God gave him the name of the right, honorable Jabez. And only God can do that. The Bible often can take, and how the Lord Jesus can take his grace and mercy, and not to be redundant, but he can take his grace and mercy, and he can infuse your life. And I pray to God that you hear this. I pray that everybody in this room hears this, especially these teenagers. I pray you understand the principle that you are not bound by your name. You're not bound by your family. You're not bound by how you came into this world. You know my story. You know the fact that I was a product of an affair. You know the fact that my mom, her own words, from her own lips, told me that she was going to abort me. But because my biological father didn't believe in abortion, she chose not to do that. So that was how I came into this world. But I would like to say, my God is bigger than any of that garbage. My God is bigger than any of those problems. My God is bigger than any of those painful experiences. He's an amazing Savior. Can I get a witness in this room? He's an amazing God that when you choose, friend, when you choose to repent of your sin and give your life to Christ, believing the gospel to the saving of your soul, that Christ died for you, that he was buried for you, that he rose again 3 days later, and you trust him as your Savior, sweet friend, he takes up residence in your life, and he chooses. What an amazing God that he is. You're now his child. He is your heavenly Father. He is your eternal Father, and he has chosen to obligate himself to your welfare and taking care of you. He's an amazing Savior. Amen? He's an amazing God. What gives me hope and thrills my soul going into 2017 is the fact that I have a God that still loves me unconditionally. What a glorious Savior he is. You say, preacher, why do you say that? Let me just be honest. Let me just be transparent. Because I know what kind of a bum I can be spiritually sometimes. Don't amen that. I know how, listen, friend. Please hear my heart. I've been saved since I was 16. I know sometimes, Brother Michael, still what a wretch I can be. I still know sometimes the struggles that I can have that absolutely, they baffle me, that I can still struggle with some things all these years. But I still am overwhelmed sometimes when I just simply stop and think and stop and ponder. And it's good to do that every now and then. Just simply stop and ponder. And I want us to do this tonight. The last Wednesday before 2017 that we'll celebrate as a church family as far as in a prayer meeting setting, going into 2017, if you know Christ as your Savior, he still loves you. He still loves you so much. He still cares about you. I asked prayer requests, and I haven't done it in a while. We know in 2017, thank God, thank the Lord Jesus. And that's not disrespect for a reverend. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Thank the Lord that what we've been dealing with the whole trial situation, as many of you know all that, it's coming to a close. Thank the Lord Jesus. Possibly by summer. Now, barring the unforeseen, right? I'm thankful that my Lord, Brother Tommy, and there were times I didn't believe it. Let me say this. There were times I struggled with really grabbing a hold of the truth. But I'm thankful he hasn't left me over these last 3 years. He has sustained my family. He has protected us. And I'm grateful for that. And he will continue to do that. Does it bother me that a friend of mine could have done that? It kills me to think that a friend of mine could have done something like that. But God's on the throne. God's in control. And I'm grateful tonight that going into 2017, he will be with me every step of the journey. He will be with you every step of the journey. I'm not a prophet. But if we continue to track like we have for years and years and years as believers in Christ, possibly next year, it's going to be some difficult roads for some of us. Possibly next year. And I'm not saying you. I'm just saying possibly next year. There's going to be some sickness, possibly next year. There's going to be some difficulties. But I'm here to tell you, and I hope it encourages your heart, He's with you. He's with you. He promises to be with you. He promises to never leave you nor forsake you. The word honorable was used in a negative and a positive way. In the positive, it means numerous or rich. The idea is that Jabez, as one writer writes, he says, had been blessed of God. He wanted to be blessed, and he was blessed. He was an honorable person. We see in Jabez a few thoughts in the context of this. He was more honorable, perhaps in these names we find, as we look at this, maybe in all these lists of names, it's as if God wants to just kind of single in, maybe 500 names, and God just kind of, the Holy Spirit of God and his power and his might, and as he's inspiring this portion of Scripture, man, the Holy Spirit of God just kind of picks a name out and really kind of brings in a picture of grace and mercy into a life of a man who was labeled as pain, sorrow. Wow. I'm grateful. I'm grateful that God gets the final say in a person's life. I'm grateful that God gets the final say in the life of a believer. What a tremendous joy. What a tremendous truth. Don't ever let anyone, don't ever let anyone put a label on you and you hold on to that like it's gospel. No, you can rise above it. You can rise above with the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing. And again, not to be repetitive, but I pray that we drive that point home. What a tremendous, tremendous example. The miracle, you say, what's the miracle in the context of this portion of Scripture, preacher? The miracle was that God, through his grace and mercy, infusing in the life of Jabez, Jabez was able to overcome all the pain and all the sorrow and all the circumstances that were around his mother. Can you imagine being a mom? Can you imagine being a mother and looking at your child and say, I'm going to give you a name. I'm going to give him a name. What name are you going to give him? Oh, you're going to give him a name that means joy. Oh, no, no. You're going to give him a name that means, you know, God is my strength? No. Pain. I'm going to give him the name sorrow. Wow. Wow. But I'm grateful. The Lord Jesus Christ, he can do amazing things in your life. Let me bring it down a little closer to home. And I know sometimes parents don't mean, they shouldn't say this ever. Ever should a parent say this. But I've heard parents over the years say things like this. Oh, this is our baby. This was our accident. This was our mistake. Listen. Number one, there are no accidents with the Lord Jesus. If they've been given to you by God. And they are a blessing. We thank God for that. So just keep in mind, maybe you're here as an adult. You say, Pastor, I'll be honest, growing up, Pastor, I was told that I would never amount to anything. Growing up, preacher, I was told I was worthless. I was never ever showed love and affection. Well, friend, that may be the case, but I'm here to tell you there is one that loves you, that is an amazing God, an amazing provider, an amazing Heavenly Father, and He can take your mess and turn it into a message. It's not uncommon. It's not uncommon for my wife and I to talk to teenagers. We talk to teenagers a lot over the years. We've done that, and honestly, on a regular basis, whether we're talking to teenagers, whether we're talking to college kids, and they start telling us about their pain, true, honest, before the Lord, I honestly, we'll say to them, listen, here's what you have an opportunity to do. You have an opportunity to break the cycle. Praise God for that. Can I get a witness in this room? You have an opportunity to break the cycle. Many, many young people have sat in our house. Many young people over the years, over 20 plus years of ministry, have come across our path, and we've ministered to them, and they come from some of the horrific home lives. And we try to speak into it and just say, listen, you don't have to be labeled. You don't have to live under a label. You can give God praise with your life, and you can give God glory with your life, and the Lord Jesus can take your story and take your mess, and He can do amazing things with it. We often say you can break the cycle. If you grow up in a home, honestly, if you grew up in a home where and I know many of you, and talking to many of our church family, you grew up in a home where your parents didn't show you love and affection. Here's what's great about my Lord. When you have kids, if God bless you with a wife and kids or a husband and children, guess what you have an opportunity to do, Bill? You have an opportunity every night of your life to hug them and kiss them and tell them you love them. You have an opportunity. You say, "Oh, preacher, your kids are older now." We still do it. Don't make me do it right now, Cameron. Right? We hug our kids. We kiss them. We tell them how much we love them. Cameron's at the pediatrician today, and he got measured. 6'4" and a half. We said, he's excited about that because Dr. Ryan said his growth plates were gone. He'd never grow another inch. I said, "Well, God's got the final say, Dr. Ryan." So he was excited about this, and he said to me, Micah, he said, "Dad, I was able to extend my neck a little further today," so he's 6'4" and a half. But we love our babies. We love our babies. And I'm grateful to God. I'm grateful to God, friend. They don't have to grow up in a home where there isn't love. They don't have to grow up in a home where, listen, they don't have to grow up in a home where drugs and alcohol are rampant. They don't have to grow up in a home where there's, I started to say there's arguing. No, sometimes there is arguing, but we work through that. But they don't have to grow up in a home. My kids, I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you what God's done. My kids never have to lay their head down wondering if their mom loves them or their dad loves them. They never have to do that. And I'm not, God is my witness. I'm not saying it as a sob story. There were many a night that I did that. But you know what? I'm grateful that God was able to change the cycle in our lives. I'm grateful God was able to change the cycle. You know, and as I look at Jabez, it's fair to say, God chose to change the cycle in his life. Jabez's mother, you're going to name him pain and sorrow. But God can say, "But you know what? I'm going to take his life and I'm going to allow my Holy Spirit to inspire the writer of 1 Chronicles. And he's going to write about Jabez. And he's going to write about what I did in his life." Because you don't have to live by, you don't have to live under a label. You don't have to live under a label. And you don't have to, you say, "Yeah, but pastor, I just wish I had family that loved me. I just wish I had family that cared for me." Well, let me just say something to you. This is a good word. If you're part of Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church, you do have family that loves you. My church family, and I've said this 100 times, it didn't save my soul, but it saved my life. The first dress clothes I can ever remember. Now, I know my mom perhaps bought me some when I was a little kid, but the first dress clothes I can remember as a teenager that were ever bought for me, my pastor's wife bought them for me. And she used to do that. My first service, I showed up in jeans and a t-shirt. Honest truth, white t-shirt and jeans. That's all I had. And God saved me. But my pastor's wife took an interest in me. My pastor took an interest in me. My church family took an interest in me. And they began to love on me. And they began to minister to me. And they began to be a voice for those that didn't have a voice. They began to, you know, just show me the love of Jesus. And they began, ready for this one? They began to buy me clothes. You know what I'm grateful to God for? Here I'm 44 years of age. I'm grateful now that the Lord, over the years, God's allowed us to be able to bless other young people and love on them and encourage them. He's an amazing God, and he can take your life. He can infuse it with his grace and mercy. And you don't have to live under the stigma of a label. You don't have to live under the stigma of someone saying, "Well, you're a bum and you'll always be that. I knew you'd never amount to much." Listen, let them say that kind of nonsense. But don't believe a word of it. Because with God, all things are possible. And with the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what I've experienced? You know what I've witnessed over the years? It's often, honest truth, it's often the ones that were broken the most growing up, that God will save them, change their life. Many call into ministry, be pastors, pastor's wife, missionaries' wives, missionaries. I mean, God, he's a remarkable Savior. So we see, you know, the man, we've noticed the miracle and the fact that God elevated him. God took him to a higher plane. God took him to a higher level. Well, let's dig into the message just for a couple minutes, and we'll let you go. Notice the message. And in this message, in verse 10, really what we find, and you may want to write it to just a little thought in your mind, Jabez becomes a prayer warrior. He becomes a prayer warrior. The Bible tells us, and we're just going to break it down real quick, this prayer of Jabez, he prays specifically for some things. Right after, he's given the name Sorrow. What a name. I think I can bear the name Tracy. He was given the name Sorrow. Verse 10 says, and Jabez called on the God of Israel. You young people, hear my heart tonight. Get a vibrant prayer life in your life. I'm serious. Learn to become a prayer warrior. I'm not just talking about praying over your food. Gerald, you with me? All right. Why you got your face covered up, Thomas? I want to see your face. There you go. Leave it down. Become a prayer warrior. When the world wants to put labels on you, become a prayer warrior. When your family and your home is a mess, be a prayer warrior. I remember as a young kid, Mom and John Harold used to fight like cats and dogs and drink and all that nonsense. I remember she used to say, what goes on in this house stays in this house. Don't you tell anybody about us. Don't you tell anybody. And you have to go to school and you have to portray that everything's fine. And that's a heavy burden when you're an elementary kid. Right? Become a prayer warrior. Some of you have pain that I can only imagine as a young person. Some of you, I'm not going to mention your name because I won't embarrass you, but you're on my heart right now. Some of you have experienced pain. Some of you have experienced tragic, great loss. Your prayer life can sustain you. Did you hear me? Your prayer life can sustain you through that. When it gets difficult, it does. It absolutely does. Your prayer life will help you. Because here's what you got to get a hold of, and I hope you see this. I hope you see this in your heart and your mind right now. When you pray, if you know Christ as your Savior, if you're truly born again, and you pray, you're talking to the one and only true God. You're talking to the Lord. You're talking to the one and only true Savior. You're talking to the one and only eternal Heavenly Father. You're talking to the one that has obligated himself to take care of you. And when you hurt, and many of you do, I follow you guys on Facebook. And you hurt, and I know you do. The Lord Jesus Christ, he promises to love you through it. He promises to be there for you. He promises to never leave you. You've had loved ones leave you unexpectedly. Let me just encourage you tonight. Going into 2017, let me make a promise to you on the authority of Scripture. Jesus promises to never leave you. Psychologically, you can attach to him. He can become your secure base. He can become that attachment that you know is a rock that you can build your life on. He's an amazing God. And he is a God, when my mind goes back to Genesis chapter 12, when God says, Abram, let's go. Okay, Lord, where are we going? He just went. That's what God wants. God wants, and maybe this is kind of a thought. Maybe, I don't know. I've been wrestling with themes. I usually have a theme by now, but I've been wrestling with some themes lately. Maybe Maybe God, in 2017, young people, adults, this preacher, maybe God just wants total abandonment to His will for our lives. Maybe that's what He's wanting. Maybe He just simply wants us to just launch out and say, God, sink, swim, or drown, I'm going after you. I don't have all the details filled in. I don't have all the dots filled out. I don't have all the T's crossed. I don't have all the answers. But Lord Jesus, I'm going to go with you in 2017. I want it to be the greatest year of my life spiritually. What a prayer. What a goal. That it would be the greatest life, year of our life spiritually. So real quick, 3 minutes, I'm done. Look what he prays. He prays, first of all, that God would stretch him. He says, oh, that thou, verse 10, wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. He wants God to stretch him. He wants God. He's not content with just what he has. He wants more of the Lord Jesus. He wanted God to have a wider, boy, this is good. He wanted to have a wider usefulness for the Lord Jesus. What a prayer. 2017, Lord Jesus, I want a wider usefulness for you. Because I'll be honest. I'll just be honest with you. The Christian life, if you're not careful, can become stale. It can become stagnant. It can become go through the motions. God doesn't want that. God wants to radically infuse our lives, and I include me in this. He wants to radically infuse our lives and take us to a higher level than we ever dreamed possible. Who would have thought? A kid from Claryville, Kentucky, God would take to the big city and allow him to pastor a couple of churches. I never would have dreamed that. My pastor's wife said, we didn't think Tracy would ever leave Kentucky. When I crossed the Ohio River, I turned around and it was first time I crossed the Ohio River, I turned around and said, goodbye, United States. I thought I was leaving the country. Some of you heathens always say I live in southern Ohio. I'm not going to mention any names around the moon, but I love you anyway. Like Jabez, we ought to pray, God, give me greater opportunities. Give me greater opportunities to be used for your honor and glory. Give me greater opportunities, greater usefulness. So he prays that God would stretch him. Secondly, he prays that God would sustain him. Look what else he says. Young people, this is a tremendous prayer. This is a great prayer to pray for 17. He says, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand, you guys cannot be looking at Scripture and looking at me at the same time. It's absolutely physically impossible to do that. Got your Bibles out? All right, everybody look at your Bibles. Cameron, I know you got your Bible out because you would never do that. I want you to look at your Bibles. Find 1 Chronicles. I'm going to stop this sermon until these kids get their Bibles open. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And when you have it, young people, all of you, tell me you have it. You have it? Gerald, you got it? You girls got it? Thomas, you got it? They got it? Cody? Sergeant? All right. Cameron and the three girls. He's like, I got it. You didn't have to say the three girls, Dad, but I got it. All right, now look. Verse 10. So give me another minute. He says, oh, that 1 Chronicles 4:10. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. So he's praying that God will stretch him. Secondly, he's praying that God will sustain him. Look what else he says. And that thine hand might be with me. That's a good prayer for 2017, isn't it, Brian? That's a great prayer. God, I want you to stretch me. I want you to, just my heart for Emmanuel this year, this coming year. I pray that God grows us even more as a church. I pray he grows us spiritually. I pray he grows us numerically. I mean, I really do. I pray he grows us numerically. And we're trying to keep our fingers on the pulse so that we'll maybe launch some new thoughts, new ideas and things. Notice what else he prays. He prays that God will surround him. And that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. He prays that in the context of surrounding and the whole thought, he wants God's hand to be on him. He's praying that God surrounds him so that he wouldn't sin. And that he, notice what he says, and young people, I want you to see this. This is a tremendous principle. This is awesome. I'm telling you, this is awesome because I just read it in the margin of my Bible. I want you to see it. Look at this. You remember what was his name? Aaron, what was his name? What does his name mean? I just woke him up. What does his name mean? Pain? Yes, it means pain. All the teenagers are like, sorrow, pain. Aaron's like, pain? Yeah. It means pain, right? Right, church? His name means pain. Look what he prays. This is tremendous. He says, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, verse 10, and that it may not grieve me. You know what he means in the word grieve there? It's the word pain. It's the word pain. He says, and that it may not pain me, because sin will do that. Evil will do that, young people. 2017, if we mess with sin, it will cause, I promise you, it will cause pain in your life. And he says, God, I pray, Lord, that you'll be with me. You'll keep me from evil. That it may not pain me. And look at the last sentence of verse 10. This is tremendous. And God granted him that which he, underline the last word, young people, if you got a pen or a highlighter. This is tremendous principle. And God granted him that which he, look at the word, requested. If God granted you everything that you request, what would it look like? If God granted you everything that you requested of him, what would it look like? You said, preach, I'll be honest, I don't pray much. That's not good. We need to pray more. We need to seek his face. We need to pray. We need to ask God for things in our life because the Lord wants to do that. What a tremendous prayer. 2017, what a tremendous prayer it would be if we prayed something like that every day of our life. And really truly believed and really wanted God to do that. Stand with me, please, for hymn invitation. Brian's going to come and lead us. We trust if God has spoken to your heart. We encourage you right now to step out and maybe come to the altar if you need for prayer. Maybe you're here and do not know Christ your Savior. Sweet friend, I encourage you. Repent, believe the gospel to the saving of your soul. Believe that Christ died, that he was buried, that he rose again. If you need to be saved, we encourage you to trust the Lord as your Savior. But whatever God's dealt with your heart about, maybe these young people going into a new year very soon, heading into a new year, like to just come kneel at the altar, whatever. Maybe you can pray right where you're at. Whatever God's dealt with your heart, you come as we're saying. What's the number, Brother Brian?
267.
267.